Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jaroslyn and Tanea.
Whoa! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. One more time. Whoa! What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Hey,
nothing
guys.
Comes out of war.
Nothing. Nothing good
at all.
Oh. Welcome back to We Watch TV. We Watch Too Much TV, Season 6, Episode 13. We are your hosts, the real life best friends. I am Jaroslyn.
And I am Tanea. And welcome, Ben.
Hi, guys. Hi. Welcome back. We are, you know, doing a few shows as we get into the spring season and near our Season 6 finale.
Yes. A lot of TV, y'all.
But we're going to, like, you know, touch on as much as we can before we bid you guys farewell to enjoy your summers, as we will, and head into fall. But we are speaking on the kickoff of what is a phenomenal month following a previous phenomenal month. It is Women's History Month. And if you are like me and Tanea, we are also Black women. So we spent a month celebrating our Blackness. And now we get to step into a month of celebrating our Black womanhood of it all. And being a woman is an amazing thing. I don't really know any other experience, but I can say just from my interactions with the male species, they are cool, you know, and they drive the world with their given liquids that help populate the earth. However, just as a woman, I have always been acknowledging of the natural warmth and connection and sisterhood that I can get from a woman, just because those are just natural kind of characteristics that most women have. And it's something that's very special. And so, yeah, women adjacent, they's, thems, those that just have that love and endearment and identify with womanhood in any forms. Happy Women's History Month. Okay.
That's it.
Period. So yeah, you know, we kick off our show doing like a question. You know, we did a few during Black History Month. So with it being Women's History Month, our question today is, if you could have dinner with any woman in history, past or present, who would it be and why? Who you got, best friend?
Okay, so I have three very random but relevant women in my life. Mm-hmm. The first one would be Whitney Houston, because my dad is obsessed with her, and I just feel like it'd be a funny dinner. And as both Leos, I feel like we would just laugh all day.
Absolutely.
Second is the founding member of our organization, Alpha Kappa Alpha, Miss Ethel Hedgman Lau. Yeah. I would like to ask her, like, what was that like in 1908 to just even think about the idea of starting a sorority, and what is it what she envisions now? And thirdly, I would like to add Sasha Keeble to dinner. She is my favorite new R&B artist. She seems like a hoot of a time. She sings very, very well. And I just want to ask her if I could write a song for her. So those are three people who are not intertwined at all, right, but who I really think I would enjoy dinner with. What about you?
Well, for one, I would definitely be joining you on that dinner with Whitney Houston.
That's it.
Just because her energy always seemed like energy I would love to be around. And as you said, she is a Leo and my best friend's a Leo. So clearly I love Leos. But my three are, as yours, very random across time. And also just shows you how I'm down for the woman girl of it all. So, and there's no explanation needed for any of them. So first is the great Harriet Tubman.
You know what? You better go in the Underground Railroad.
Listen. And shout out to Bob the drag queen. I believe I already gave him a shout out previously about the same thing, because I'm still it takes me a while now to read a book. Before, it used to take me like a month, maybe. Now it takes me possibly years because I get around to it when I get around to it. So I'm still reading his book, which is called Harriet Tubman Live in Concert. And it's basically as if Harriet Tubman came back, like there was a time machine that allowed people to come back. And she came back and she wants to like kind of share her story through music. And she's having this character who, you know, very much reminds you of Bob the Drag Queen in the book, but it's not. Help her produce this live album that she's going to perform. And so you're just seeing them have dialogue about slavery, the Underground Railroad, and you know, it's just like cool. So I would just love to have dinner with her and pick her brain. Number two is RuPaul. No,
Yes, she
no.
is a woman.
Okay, period. Period. Like, no explanation needed. You already know what it is. And number three is Britney Spears in 2003.
Oh,
If
not this Britney. You
I
don't want to twirl with her in 2026.
could have got to her in 2003, I'm telling you, she would still be the Britney. Like, she's still the Britney, but it's just like, you
Right.
know, there's a lot of shit that went down and happened and whatever. But I think she just needed definitely someone who truly loved and appreciated her, as well as just got that, you know, real soul. You got to be soul foundation tied.
Yeah, she needs some
And
real good girlfriends in her life.
okay. And to have those people around you and near you is just life saving, life changing. And that's why I always loved Trevor Noah. Remember this last episode of Daily Show, he just said, get with some black women.
Yes.
I'm
Yes.
telling you, everybody needs a black woman in their life. And it's Women's History Month, you know, so we being real, get you a black woman. If you white, if you anything, get you a good black Judy that will just talk sense into you at all times. So if I could have just had dinner with Britney at any time in her career, it would have been 2003, where I could have got up in there and been like, nobody know.
Listen, get rid of that father, okay?
Right.
Sometimes the people that's blood related are the worst for
Absolutely. The
you.
father, that husband at the time, all of them needed to go. Needed to go. Okay. And on that note, y'all, like and subscribe, rate and review. We're on all streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. That is TEA with the letter V.
That's it.
And we know why you're here. You want to know what the hell have we been watching? What are they going to say about such and such, such and such, such and such? And we got y'all. So let's get into our weekly grab. Okay, best friend, what are you kicking us off with this week?
Oh, I am kicking you off with one of my favorite new comedies to come out in a very long time. And it is The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins on Peacock. I love me some Tracy Morgan. It gives The Office meets kind of like 30 Rock, kind of meets Parks and Rec. But I also love the cast because it gives me Daniel Radcliffe, your Harry Potter boo,
Hello.
being fun. And I know he was kind of funny because I did like the Weird Al Yankovic like movie, but I love him in this show because he makes me like genuinely laugh and bust out laughing. Also, Erica Alexander, shout out to them giving us a classic actress that we don't see all the time. There's so many black actresses. Like, I love Miss Niecy Nash, but I'm happy that somebody else is getting this throne, you know? Seeing her in this, it's just so funny. I love Bobby Moynihan. He plays like the quirky best friend, but basically, Tracy Morgan plays Reggie Dinkins. He was a big football star in the like early 2000s, but he gets banned for betting on his game, which is illegal. So he gets banned from the NFL. And he finds this English documentarian who had to move from England to Maryland because he, after he won an Oscar, he kind of like tried to direct the Marvel movie and it just was a mess. And so they both kind of need each other to revamp their careers. So you're following Tracy, whose ex-wife is Erica, but that's still his manager slash agent. He is engaged to like this younger, beautiful girl named Bree. But what I love is that the storyline is not them getting back together. It's he loving Bree, but he also recognizing, and Bree even says it, that Monica, who is Erica Alexander, that's who they need. So it's just filming him. They have one son. The son is just hilarious, and he tries to act and like make it fake. But then Daniel Radcliffe is like, "Look, if you want this to be real, you have to show your real life." It's just funny. It's just a stupid show with silly jokes, and it's like my new kind of release. Like The Pitt is my show that makes me cry, but this show makes me laugh from my belly. I'm praying it gets like 12 seasons. I'm praying it's successful. It's really, 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 really funny. Like I watched the first two episodes like three times. Like that's how funny it is. So if you need something to watch that is like the dry humor, something different, but also something that is kind of heartwarming, then I would watch The Fall and Rise of Reggie Dinkins on Peacock. Shout out to Tracy Morgan and Daniel Radcliffe. And they really like each other. You can tell this cast genuinely, wholeheartedly likes each other.
I'm sure working with Tracy Morgan is such like a new like relief type experience for Daniel Radcliffe after all
Yes.
these years of like, like more serious type stuff. It's probably so just fun to be on set with Tracy, who is, we know, Tracy Morgan. And
And yeah.
you were saying it sounds like a upbeat watch, which we could do all of that right now. Like anything that can kind of get your mind off of, something so serious, the seriousness of life, the craziness of life. It's good to see stuff like that. That's also still relatable and touches on real life issues. So.
It's just we need it. It's lighthearted. And they just talk about how much a joy Tracy Morgan is. I think post his accident, they was just like, he is the most positive, generous person. He invited the whole cast to his house before. I like to read, like watch the interviews like leading up to a show. And he like Daniel and Erica said that he invited them all to his house. They had a big dinner. And Daniel Radcliffe's like, I don't think I've ever met anyone as nice as Tracy Morgan. Like genuinely, honestly, a nice man. So please watch that show so they don't cancel it. Okay.
Yes.
We need more black-led shows. What's
Yes.
first on your weekly grab?
Okay, so first on my weekly grab is season two of an award-winning show. Shout out to Sterling the K. Brown. That's his name, right? Sterling K. Brown? That's
Yeah,
right.
Sterling K. Brown,
Your
VK.
cousin. Your cousin. All the Browns family.
Yes, that's my uncle Sterling.
Yes. So it kicked off season two with all the three, the first three episodes of this new season. And on episode one, we're being introduced to a new story, which is basically surrounding a woman and her experience surviving the apocalypse that we know happened from season one that left off with, Sterling K. Brown, his character Xavier, is living in this bunker that was created in preparation for the apocalypse that now we're watching this woman survive outside of the bunker. So her name is Annie. She was a tour guide at Graceland, Elvis's house in Memphis, Tennessee. But she also had studied to be a doctor, but just her own personal thing pushed her away from it. But she's still extremely smart and resourceful. And so she's navigating this life at the Graceland home. And she's there with a woman who worked as a security guard at the home. And the woman has an injury on her leg. You're seeing Annie like take care of her, but ultimately she doesn't make it. And so now Annie is navigating this, what we see, because they're saying like day one, day two, then you see like day 600 or whatever. So it's like, okay, this is like 2 years later. And that's when she's joined in the house by strangers. Thankfully, they weren't bad strangers who were just trying to, ransack the home. But in the end, the episode ends with her meeting Xavier. So now it takes you back into Xavier's story. That's episode two. We're seeing what happened once Xavier left the bunker and he tried to fly this plane. He's trying to get to Atlanta to find his wife, who he knows is alive. He left his two children back in the bunker. And then you still got those crooked secret service chick who is behind this this you know, kind of crime syndicate behind the scenes that people don't know about, but us as the audience knows about. So you're like wanting to see this girl get taken down, but all we're seeing is she's not getting taken down. She's only further implicating other people that are innocent. Like, she's good build up for her being a villain. And so, yeah. And then you have Sinatra, who we're getting her more of her backstory of preparing to building, getting this bunker built in preparation for the apocalypse. So that's how the season kicks off, which is really, you know, it's carrying on what captured people from season one, with this being like a mystery thriller sci-fi tie-in, also with, like, you know, politics, because we're following the season one was the Who Murdered the President. Season two is now, child, the interim president, he got murdered. So
you know what? It's a lot of murdering in this show.
It's everything. It's really good. Sterling K. Brown is doing his big one. It's one of those shows where I enjoy watching the Easter eggs after the episode, just in case there's like things I missed. So I've been watching that. Shout out to New Rock Stars. I love their Easter egg breakdowns. He didn't follow the show last season, but he got a lot of requests about it to follow it this season. He said he'll see if he wants to continue keeping up. Boy, stop playing with Sterling. You better keep up, because I like his breakdowns the best. I do think they also do Easter egg breakdowns of The Pit. I know that's your show, Tanae.
So. Ooh, let me do that one. Yeah. What is it called? It's a YouTube.
Yeah. Well, you could put in just The Pit Easter eggs. That's like my favorite thing, honestly. For most of your like favorite shows, if it's like you know, like a scripted show, for the most part, you could go on Easter eggs on YouTube and it'll typically pop, new rock stars will pop up because they're like the most popular, one of the most popular breakdown pages, like review pages. And they really go in depth on these shows, like in ways that you might not even know, because they would researched, you know, if it was inspired by a book and what, you know, what part of the book, and that will give you clues as to where the story could go. It's really cool for if you're like a nerd for certain shows. And I know you love The Pit. So I saw that it was
that is my show. They can't make a better show than The Pit. I love that show. Gosh. I wake up at like almost 7, 8 every morning, work out on my little bike, and I watch the newest episode. I am never more than like, I love The Pit. They better bring all the damn seasons, win all the awards. The Pit. I want to be on that show.
Yeah, I know they've been doing well in getting nominated. So, yes. Okay, well, what's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is season three of one of our favorites. And this is House of Villains. Yes. I will say it's a slow start to the beginning of the season.
Yes.
It's not given like season one or two. I'm praying it gets better.
Yeah.
After the first episode, but I did watch it. There are some funny instances. So my one thing is, as long as there's a season and New York doesn't win, she has to come back every season until she wins. Yeah. I don't care. Right. She makes the show. She just is New York. I could watch her all day on television. Like, I like her better in these type of environments.
Yeah.
Definitely want to see her on Traitors.
Yes.
But so they have New York. They have Ashley from The Challenge, who definitely needs a new hairstylist, because your micro links, girl, when you put your hand in a ponytail, stop.
Yeah,
they have Christine Quinn, which you're more familiar with because you watched Selling Sunset. I don't know who that white girl is. Yes. They have Kate Chastain. Really don't know who she is, but I've seen her on TV before. Tom Sandoval, who, oh my gosh, the Botox, the makeup. Like,
I know, but I love him.
Listen, he seems like he's trying. They have Tyson from Survivor, Paul from Big Brother, Jackie from Basketball Wives, and Plain Jane from Drag Race. I love how they always try to give us some type of queer drag queen, gay person. And then last but not least, my girl, Drita. I've missed Drita on television. The only reason I'm going to stay consistent this season is because Drita getting mad is a different type of mad. I didn't notice that. I don't know what happened with Monica and the evil voice, but she lost that check. I guess she must have said something, made Bravo annoyed or mad.
Oh, that's right. She was the evil voice.
Yeah, she was. And I remember she was very hyped to be the evil voice. One thing about Monica, she talked too damn much. So I'll go on Instagram and see what happened, Monica.
I mean, honestly, I didn't even notice. So I think that's why it didn't matter. That role was irrelevant.
Maybe they wanted to save the money, so that makes a lot of sense. But I did notice that the that how the voice is now Joel, which is kind of funny, silly, but I do like it nonetheless. So, like I said, I think the show is interesting because I like the people, but something is missing. I don't know what. I'm gonna give it 3, 4 episodes before I check out because sometimes I just check out a
I
show.
know, so I know that it started to pick up by episode three,
Okay.
because what you'll see is that now people start to get more invested in the game. So they really start to feel a way when they get put into the hit list. And
Got it.
the three that get put into the hit list at the end of episode three, that's when you see Plain Jane have a moment, which is just iconic. And it's just funny. Especially because like these people, they that's what they do. They live for creating these little moments of like reading somebody, and it's just hilarious too, because Plain Jane got these big ass titties on with the
I
hard
love me
nipples.
some Plain Jane boobs.
Oh my gosh, it's so hilarious. And then they end it by showing you coming up this season, and it does look like it's a lot more of just hilarious moments, but also those showdown moments when at the hit list part where somebody curses out somebody else, because
Oh,
they're all
yes.
villains, so they all just be cursing each other out. I will say I did not like the change they made to the chair. I like them getting flipped upside down.
Oh, I gotta watch it because I didn't finish episode two, so I have to see
Oh
it. What is it
yeah,
now?
episode, you'll see it. Episode two is
Okay.
where the first person gets eliminated. So far only one person has gotten eliminated, because episode three end it with just the next three that are on the hit list. So only so far one person got sent home. You'll see it at the end of episode two. And the chair is just so mellow. They must have got complaints the first two seasons.
Oh, maybe
So
somebody hurt their back or
yeah,
something.
because it was like an aggressive like jolt and pulling them back, and then they go upside down. It doesn't do that anymore.
But Joel did mention something about the budget. So maybe because remember, I do remember when Tyson got that suite and they was like, this ain't no suite. It's just a small
Yes.
ass room. You don't got to share with nobody.
Oh my, but it's still funny. Like when Christine got put on the hit list and she gave that
Oh, that long
and
speech. Oh my
nobody cared. And she was like, and first of all, and I liked you and I thought we had a connection. Like,
And you
okay.
don't understand. I
Yes.
am that girl. You will regret this. I'm coming back. You just
Oh my
wait.
gosh, so funny. It's just a whole budget. And then yeah, when they were playing that toxic tea game, and Drita, somebody put the Tyson put the cup in front of Drita, and she's like, "You rat mother."
Love Drita.
Just
Let me tell you
being that,
something.
yeah.
I would
So
love to invite Drita to dinner. Just get cursed out by her.
yes.
Like, thank you,
But
Drita.
yeah, we'll see if like something, because it does always kind of change. The first seasons of anything are always the best, but ultimately, yeah.
It's getting good. Like I said, I've been watching it passively as I've been like working. It's a good work watch where I don't have to pay attention too much,
Right.
but I am gonna give it my viewership. Like I said, New York, she has to win, and if she doesn't win, she has to come back literally every
Yep.
season until she does.
And I will say, after she wins, if she doesn't win, the next person is, of course, Johnny Bananas, because
Yes.
he clearly makes himself available. He's always available, and he loves to be on camera, and he's
And
hilarious.
it's less work than a challenge. I feel like his
Yes.
body is low key giving out for him to win another one.
Right. So I think Johnny Banana should have some type of role. I like seeing him on the show. I always love seeing Johnny Bananas.
He's just funny. I love to see him on TV. It's like a 10 out of 10, but that is what I'm also watching. What's next on your weekly grab?
Next on my weekly grab is the reboot of Scrubs. Now, when Scrubs first came on, I was not watching it because I was, outside. Like, we were way younger, because I think it started, what, like 20 years ago?
Yeah, 2008, 2009.
We were in college. So I wasn't really watching television, but now I am. I'm old. I'm in the house. So yeah, it showed up on Hulu, and I love Donald Faison. We love him since Clueless. And I always knew the original one was funny. I just never got around to watching it. So I was like, okay, well, this is the reboot. Let me just start from how it start fresh. So it's only two episodes so far, and it's basically bringing back the guys, Zach Braff, who plays JD, Donald Faison plays Turk, and they play doctors. I never knew that. I thought they were like nurses. I knew they worked at the hospital. I thought they were nurses, but they're actually doctors. And but they're like BFFs. They're really silly. They had, however, the original ended where JD went and worked somewhere else, and Turk stayed at the hospital. So now you're seeing them reunite, and they just kick off like right where they left off. They like nothing, like no time has passed. They're being silly again. But you also see that Turk is low-key depressed because his job is like he does surgeries, and he gets tired of seeing people who are, he's, as he says, like slowly killing themselves. Like people who are smoking cigarettes, and so they're coming back and getting this taken out and this taken out before ultimately they pass away. And then the family is coming at him like, you could, why didn't you do more? So you're seeing him deal with that on top of the fact that these are both, they do the whole generational thing. So they are Gen X. And now they're working with a new generation of Gen Z interns, which makes for a lot of comical moments because of just the difference in the generations, and then also their relationships with each other. You see our girl Judy Reyes from,
Love her. Shout out to High Potential. Please hurry up and come back. Love her.
yes, but she's booked and busy because she's doing
Yes,
High
my girl's getting
Potential.
double checks, double
Yep.
checky.
High Potential and Scrubs because she plays Turk's wife. So she's there. A lot of the same people from the original are there. Sarah Chalk, who plays Elliot, she's a series regular. Dr. Cox. And then you have like the janitor, you'll see him. And then the newbies, Dr. Eric Park is actually funny. So you see him constantly challenging JD, which is hilarious. And then the interns are saying that Turk is like, he's like old and grumpy. And JD is like, no way. All you gotta say is just look at him and say, what's up? And the Gen Z girl's like, what's up? How? He's like, oh God, no. So yeah, so it's funny. Like we were saying earlier, if you're just looking for something that just takes your mind off, one, if of course, if you like the show before, check it out. But if you're new to it like me, it's just a good watch. It's just a good-hearted, quick little 30-minute ha. Okay.
That's what I was going to ask you. So do you feel a little lost because you didn't watch like the first thing of it, or does it do a good
No.
job of like carrying
Yeah.
on without it?
Yep, I don't feel lost because they'll do like little flashbacks
Okay.
if need be. Because I didn't know, like I was able to correlate, like, oh, okay, Judy Reyes is married to Donald Faison, and Elliot and JD are divorced. So the show kicks off like explaining that to you. So clearly they were like dating during the original show, and so now we're watching them as divorcees, like which is cool, because it's like it's still comedy, so there's going to be those dynamics. And yeah, like people that clearly were from the original show, like the way they come back in their first scene, it's set up in a way where I'm like, okay, well, clearly this is somebody that's from the original show. So yeah, I wasn't lost at all. It's actually, and then again, it's ultimately just funny. So I'm just like there for the laughs. All right, and what is last on your weekly grab, best friend?
You know what? It's been a while since I watched a random documentary on somebody, and this is how I know random ass facts, because I just like watching documentaries on people.
You do.
So, the last documentary or last on my weekly grab is I'm Chevy Chase and You're Not. It premiered on CNN, but then of course it is on HBO Max. They start the documentary with the woman interviewing him saying, "You know, I'm really just trying to interview you and figure you out." And he was like, "Why? Well, you can't." And she said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because you're not smart enough." And she said, "Wow." And he was like, "Well, don't put that in there." And of course they put that in there. And so you see this very interesting kind of insight into this person who I feel like anybody who has a complicated relationship with fame or who is not the nicest person, they try to give you like a backstory. So you find out he's from New York, him and his own brother, their mom was schizophrenic. She married a therapist. He was very abusive and he was the youngest child, so he got abused a lot. He used comedy as a coping mechanism. He got into like the Groundlings, and then he met John Belushi. Of course, he went to SNL. He was in the first cast ever. He was the only SNL cast member that did not sign a contract. That's why he left after one season. He was like, "All right, I'm done." I think one or two seasons he left. How much drugs he did, how he was addicted to cocaine, and how he was funny, tall, and charming, but then he was also kind of rude. He was very not nice to a lot of people, especially his community days. He had a lot of like, he thought that the 70s or the 2000s, or he did some a lot of racially insensitive stuff that didn't hit very well. They had a lot of recordings of him being rude to like the people that he worked with, the directors, the producers, but then you see his wife and his kids, and they're like, "Oh, he was depressed," and da 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 da. I just always think it's interesting because it's like, is that an excuse? Like, I don't think, you know, being abused or having heart problems or being depressed means you have to be racist and mean. I did like learning more about him, but he definitely was in his feelings during the SNL 50th. He really, really, really wanted at least one line. And Lorne Michaels said, no. And he really, really, even his daughter, like they were so mad at the world that he was not featured in that SNL 50th show. But it was just interesting to kind of learn more about him. I'm not like a fan or not a fan, but I've always seen that he wasn't a very nice person. There's been a lot of people who said, like, even in the documentary, there were two things they talked about his time on Community. Nobody was interviewed. And then when he came back to host SNL in the early 90s, the first gay cast member was Terry Sweeney. He wanted to do a skit about Terry Sweeney having AIDS and how long he would live with it. And it was very insensitive. Terry Sweeney was very hurt. He put it in his book. It took him a long time to get over it. He wouldn't even speak to the documentary crew about it. So when you see his wife and his kids and everybody's like, "Oh, he's nice, he's misunderstood," it's like, is he nice? Or like, oh, he has a bad heart. He was an alcoholic. Like, I'm like, okay, those things can be true. But he also doesn't sound like a great person. And so I just thought that was interesting how sometimes people will love to kind of downplay the things and the people that the person that you are because of all of these things you went through, but you also do not have to be an asshole. So I think it was an interesting thing just to watch and get more insight into. That was last on my weekly girl
Okay,
grab.
Chevy Chase.
Yes.
My favorite Chevy Chase movie is the one with Demi Moore.
What movie was he in with Demi?
Demi Moore and Dan Aykroyd. I think it's called Nothing to Lose or something. You never saw that one?
No, I just like the Coneheads and the Three Amigos.
He wasn't in Coneheads.
Not Coneheads, Family Vacation. That's
Yo,
what it is.
the
Vacation. Yes,
National
that one.
movie.
Coneheads was Dan Aykroyd, my bad. Yes, but that was the one he
Yes.
was in.
Dan Aykroyd was great in this movie too. It's a classic. Tupac's in it.
No, I never saw it.
Digital
Sorry,
Underground.
Tupac. Sorry, Tupac.
Digital Underground comes at the end and they do all
Oh.
around the world the same song. Yeah, it's a classic. I can't believe you've never seen that movie.
No, but I
It's a
did see
classic. Yeah, the
the
movie's better than the documentary, but I guess kind of shout out to Chevy Chase. I don't really like him either because he's a jerk.
No, I just thought it was a like an interesting dynamic to just keep talking about all these things that he went through, yet like people said he wasn't a great person. What's last on your weekly grab?
Last time my weekly grab is a new show. I have always been a Daily Show fan. Loved it with Jon Stewart and loving his return. He does it on Mondays, so I only watch the Monday episode.
I actually like that they switch it. I do like that every week is that they give all the correspondents. I hope they keep this. I like how fresh it is because nobody, not the same person hosts it. So I do like
Yeah, I like it, but Jon Stewart is the only good one I really like. I do
it.
sometimes check out other people, and it only just reminds me that Jon Stewart is the best. And Trevor Noah, he really tapped into the role. I wasn't a fan of Trevor Noah during his first year, but he was, rusty. And as he got comfortable with the role, he just started crushing it and he
Right.
became a natural. So some of the other ones, they just aren't showing it. But of course, the one who probably had the potential to do it is now hosting the show that I'm talking about. Have I Got News for You? Hosted by Roy Wood Jr., who is from The Daily Show. And he is sitting down with team captains Amber Ruffin, a fellow like news talk comedian. She's had her own show in the past, and comedian Michael Ian Black. And they serve up just basically comical hot takes on the news of the week. And they always have guests on who they could be promoting something, or it's just another talking head. And they play games that basically test your knowledge on current events. So it makes it real interactive. And I could see how this model is working because I've been around for them all. Shout out to Larry Wilmore, who has shown up on the guest. I loved when he had his show, but it didn't make it. And you and anyone who's had like Comedy Central has seen other people try to do late night comedy news shows that it just like Charlemagne has tried. It just doesn't necessarily work. They come
Shout
in.
out to Robin Thede. She tried on BET a long time
Yeah, her
ago. It
as
did not
well. Yeah,
work.
they just don't always work. So to see Roy Wood Jr. with Have I Got News for You, I believe now they're in like season two or whatever. So season two or three. So it's lasting and I hope it stays on because it is a good alternative to The Daily Show. And yeah, I mean, for anyone who, if your news views are more right-leaning, of course it's not a show for you. But you guys gotta have your own stuff because I mean, what I get from these shows is it is like kind of fact-based, and just you know, sometimes the facts just lean a bit left. But hey,
It's still
who?
funny. I like a funny take to the news. I liked when Aaron Parnas was on it. That's my guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He was really funny on it, and I do like, especially when they have like senators on it. It's good seeing them be funny about real stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody, I think, was this Adam Schiff, and he was like, a lot of people asked me how Trump smells, and he had a joke like shit
Yes.
happens or something, like basically
Yes.
like Trump does smell when you get close
He
to him.
said, it depends.
Yeah. Oh, yes, what he said. I was like, you know
Yeah.
what? I
Yeah.
love that.
That was good. Yes. And
I
so it
love
shows
that.
that's why these shows are good. So shout out to them and we're rooting for you. Have I Got News for You? I just watch the clips on YouTube. But
Same.
I believe it's on a streaming platform. Okay. So yeah, don't forget to rate and review, like and subscribe, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV. And so yeah, that was a nice, lighthearted, friendly, positive weekly grab. So, you know, we gotta do a little bit of dragging as part of our piss poor performance. Sprinkle, sprinkle, sprinkle. Okay, my friend,
Sprinkle.
who are you pissing on?
I am really pissing on Nick Cannon and Cam Newton. Can we take their microphones away? Can
Oh.
we take their microphones away? These men are an embarrassment to their kids. They are just an embarrassment. Like I just don't. I can't fathom what they think when people ask them certain questions and how they don't understand the importance of media training. Like, you're embarrassing. Cam Newton is talking about, oh, somebody asked him about marriage. He's like, I'm looking for volunteers, not hostages, and how he devalues women with more than one baby daddy. He has nine kids from three to four different women. He swears he the prize, looking like a damn degenerate who don't know how to shop at the thrift store. And it's just disgusting. Nick Cannon's talking about he divorced Mariah, or he left her because he couldn't handle it. Basically, because Mariah is not none of these other 10, 6, 7 baby mothers. She is the Mariah Carey. He could not handle being in her limelight. These black men with money and platforms are making me upset, because they just need to shut up. Just stop. And
I'm
then
gonna
people always
add.
asking them questions, and it's always a click, like a clickbait, and it's always like a just shut up. Like, why? You guys have kids who are gonna watch this. You talk about their moms, you talk about like women in such a nasty, derogatory way. It just pisses me off. So please, Cam, Nick, shut up, please. It pisses me
Adding Stephen A.
off.
Smith to that list as well. Just adding
Who?
Stephen A. Smith, just adding him.
Oh gosh, yes. Add him too.
Yeah.
Just shut up. Ain't nobody voting for you for president. You
No.
do not have what it takes to be president. You don't even have what it takes to be a good sportscaster. Be quiet. Trump has made it seem like anybody can be president. And as we can tell
Yep.
from what's going on right now, you need more qualifications. He should not be president. And I'm just throw them away. The world is all do too much stuff for these men to just be talking out the side of their neck. So I'm pissing on all these stupid men with the microphone. Stop
Oh
it.
man, listen, you let them have it.
Listen to our podcast. At least we talk about TV and fun stuff. These people are literally, I
Yeah.
just would never, if I had kids, if I had a family, I would never say something that would like be disrespectful to anybody that I couldn't take back. And these women just stay by their goddamn side. I would never be with somebody who made it seem like they were never gonna marry me, or that if I what chose to move on for them, I was of no value because they don't want to value me, so I move on. Like who? Just annoying. Oh, y'all don't
Yeah.
fix their lives. Okay, who
Period.
you pissing
Okay, so I am taking it over to the Traitors. They just wrapped up season four. And of course, anyone who watched season four, we are all very happy to have watched Maura Higgins lose. I mean, it was a disappointing finale to say the least, but the upside was watching Maura lose, which
Yeah.
you rightfully deserve for being a complete airhead. You clearly have a crush on Rob. He is not into you, girl. You ended that finale telling him he wasn't going to get a girlfriend. Not only did he get a girlfriend, they are going like 4 months strong. By the time of the reunion, you look sad when he shared that tidbit. He never wanted you. He played you like boo-boo the fool. I know you felt stupid as hell watching this entire season back and just seeing how you rode hard, stuck beside him, and that boy was lying and playing in your face the entire time. I'm
Just
not
'cause he was
mad
a
at
cute white
Rob.
man.
He played a decent game. I do not think he is the best traitor. He's
No.
the second best traitor after Siri, who won season one and not one time was ever suspected of being a traitor.
Correct.
For now, it brings me to the additional drag for Alan Cumming, the host of Traitors, to just boldly call Rob the best traitor of the on the show of all time. I just think it's extremely biased, as well as ties into the unconscious bias I talked about earlier on this show about Traitors, where you
Right.
saw just everybody get so mesmerized by Rob's charming white country boy persona. You know, that's just naturally who he is. No shade to him for being that, but the way everybody just took to that and was so easily able to just dismiss a lot of the other players of color, and you just saw it throughout the entire season up until Rob played everybody and won it all. Won it
Yep,
all.
I think that was his plan from the get-go. The only thing
Yeah.
I will give him is that he was selfish and didn't want to share.
Right.
He had a plan, and I knew he only chose Eric so he could let Eric go because
Yep.
he knew Moira was gonna be
Yep.
faithful to him. I don't think he was the best traitor of all time. I do
Yes.
think he played the game how a traitor should play it in
Yes.
terms of being very, very selfish. But I do not agree
Absolutely.
with
He
Alan at
played the
all.
game well. So I'm not mad at seeing him win. I'm just mad at how it all happened, because it's like he won because they had the dumbest group of faithfuls in Traitor's history. That's ultimately how he won. So it's like you can't give him too much credit. But Alan, I'm still not done with your ass, okay? Because you set the precedence when you just said Rob was the greatest traitor of all time and completely disregarded Siri. So that explains to me why you got your little skinny, scrawny ass on that Baptist stage and dismissed the blatant racism that happened at that show towards Michael B. Jordan and Delroy Lindo. It was
Talk about
completely
it.
disrespectful. Now, granted, we understand the person, you know, that did it, it was because of his disability with Tourette syndrome. No one is really mad about that. Of course, there's been mixed debates around that and where that could have come from in him for even saying the N-word. That's not my focus. My focus is on all the details that have since come out about possibly how this man's disability was exploited to create these moments where he was shouting things out that generally would get people talking about the BAFTAs, which for the most part doesn't ever really get talked about. And it came at the expense of two amazing, phenomenal Black actors and of everything that they did. They didn't allow to air on that show that got edited out. They left in these two Black men being called the N-word.
Yeah, that was a choice.
Till this day, no one has actually apologized to them. The man who has the disability has since come out releasing statements, but in each of those statements, none of them include an apology. The BAFTAs, we heard from Delroy Lindo, did not reach out to him. He said that. He said afterwards he wishes somebody from BAFTA would have spoke to them. No one spoke to them. Alan got his little scrawny ass on that stage and just dismissed it and then credited it to the guy's disability and said it in a tone where you should now extend grace to this man because of his disability. Instead of feeling sympathy for the two Black men that were just degraded on a internationally watched program. So Alan Cumming, I see who you are and I don't like it. Granted, you're hosting a show that I love, so I'll continue to. And again, I am going to call it what it is, which I believe is implicit, unconscious bias. So do I think that you blatantly are looking at people of color, be it Black people, and looking down on them? I don't think you do that in like naturally and just look at someone who's Black and be like, oh God, no. But there is something that I'm getting a sense of through these two incidents I'm dragging you for that is just innately down there. That is what is called an implicit unconscious bias. Okay. So moving forward, I don't like you. I'll never give you 10s. I'll only give you an 8. At most, but I'm going to still watch Traitors, not because of you, because of the show itself. Okay, I'm done driving.
Get into that read, best friend, because the racism is really real.
Yeah, it's out here, and y'all better be honest about it, because we ain't playing with y'all no more. Y'all see what the climate is, period. Mm. All right, but let's lighten it up. Let's talk about the people that we're actually rooting for as part of our yes segment. Okay, best friend, who you got?
I am rooting for Athena and Juicy Love Dion from RuPaul's Drag Race season 18. I do not remember the last lip sync that literally made me emotional. I just feel like you could feel the love in between them. They both wanted to win, but they both really love each other. I kind of suspected that was going to happen because of the kind of producer's edit they were giving their back history, where we learned about Juicy's past and how Juicy used to be Athena's like assistant and then her daughter. And then Juicy went through a lot of personal issues and Athena kind of helped her to be who she is today. And then you see them go against each other in the lip sync for your life. It was just so sad, so surreal. I'm just rooting for them. It just was really, 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 really sweet and justice for them, because this score should have been in the bottom. Just because a white girl did the running man better than you thought does not mean she should be top of the week. That is who I'm rooting for. It just touched my heart. Like the musical was great, but that lip sync of For Your Life really, really, really touched my heart.
Absolutely. Shout out to both of them. I added it to my list of iconic lip syncs, but it's after that lip sync. Juicy has had two so far, but I liked her lip sync with Mia more. That was just so everything.
Yeah. My favorite lip syncs For Your Life thus far is Marsha versus, damn, her name, Anitra. That one.
Oh, that one was
when she threw over her and she did the bit. That one I will still watch on YouTube.
My
I'm a bitch.
Top one
I'm a ball.
Is always with Kennedy Davenport to Katy Perry, Eye of the Tiger, when she was just flipping for her life. It was just so beautiful and emotional and everything. So yes, shout out to the Dions. We
justice for the Dion. I see y'all in All Stars.
Yes.
Athena's definitely going to do All Stars, but yes.
Absolutely. Okay, so this week I am rooting for season 17 of The Real Housewives of Atlanta, because even though it didn't start yet, the trailer that was released is just giving me all the feels that is letting me know this is about to be a good season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we got the I feel like last season's cast was good. Like we, you know, Portia works well with Drew, like, listen, people were sleeping on Drew at first, but I really feel like Drew has like solidified her role on the show. You know,
Especially
even
because she's not with broke ass wannabe
right.
housewife Ralph. Ralph wanted to be a housewife so
So
bad.
bad. So I'm happy she's back. Of course, we love Angela Oakley. I did like the addition of what's the little short one's name? The new one?
Kelly?
Kelly.
Yes.
Yes. So liking that, Cynthia's still in her friend role. And then you got Phaedra. Phaedra's back on the show. And then now we got the new additions of Kay Michelle and Pinky Cole, who runs Slutty Vegan. So
And
I
who just filed for bankruptcy.
literally just filed for bankruptcy today. Crazy. The show didn't even start yet. I'm like, oh my gosh, girl, you lucky that, oh, they missed that, but they're going to talk about it at the reunion, child. Oh, so I'm already here for it. It's giving me something to look forward to because I am disappointed that Real Housewives of Potomac has come to a close and we're only just left with Beverly Hills. And Beverly Hills is just not it. Like, I can appreciate the different energy that each Real Housewives franchise brings to the overall Real Housewivesness that we all know and love. But ultimately, Beverly Hills just gets away with season after season bringing nothing. And this season is even solidifying that even more. Because when I say there is just nothing, it is nothing. They are pulling at straws. Nobody is really giving anything. I do give credit to at least Dorit and Kyle as they're both going through divorces. But it's also just so safe how it's being covered. It's just like, oh my goodness, like you girls are so boring.
Very boring.
If
And
they're
Boz,
not,
don't marry that man. He gonna leave you because you don't have no kids. Don't
I
marry
do
him.
like the addition of
Rachel.
Rachel Zoe. I do like her. She has personality. She's open. She's an open book. She's transparent. I love it. I like her. I think she is good for the show. Jennifer Tilly is a great friend.
Love her.
And you know, with Bose, I feel like she's willing to go there, but she just needs the people to go there with. And these are not them. Like Sutton, Ben needed to go. We get it. She, you know, like she's not even as much of a train wreck as she has been in the past. So Sutton can
Right.
go. Kyle, Ben needed to go. Like, why do y'all still got Kyle there? It's like I
I
get
don't
they're
understand.
holding on to like the last OG, but it's like, so what? Y'all got rid of them on every other show, so get rid of her. She don't bring nothing, or at least demote her. It's just like there's nothing there. I think Dorit, once she's done with this divorce, she needs to get demoted, or she can go too. It's like Erica, Ben needs to go. I do
Yeah.
like with Erica though, which is so funny. She's given us stuff that didn't happen on screen, right? She's like, oh, she was in a domestic violence situation with an ex. She's also dating someone who's just not on the show, but at least she's given us that. Giselle wants to try to drop tidbits at the reunion. Like, oh, I thought when they said the congressman, because I was dating the congressman. What? Giselle, we
She
didn't
ain't
know
even get a package. She was the
nothing.
only person that didn't
Right.
have enough to be in a damn package.
Girl, like, it's like, what are you doing? So at least take a note out of Erica's book and just share it on camera, what you're not willing to, you know, what the cameras aren't catching. But even the stuff with the dad, that is juicy. The stuff with the will and you fighting with the white, your white stepmama, girl, what?
Yeah, I would have put that all on the
Hello?
television.
Hello. So yeah, I don't know if that's like a warning to Giselle if she's gonna go, but I did enjoy seeing Wendy face the music at the reunion. She, you know, and the advice that Karen gave her. I do think it was good, solid advice. But it was
Yep.
so funny to still just see Karen with her, you know, Karen-ness of just like being on this high and mighty horse. Girl, you went to prison for like your like third, fourth DUI. Like, I'm gonna need you to stop. She came in like, have you girls been behaving? Ma'am,
Girl,
have
we've
you
been
been?
not drinking and driving.
Okay,
You
period.
got money for an Uber, girl. Why is you driving? I never understood the people who have the funds to not drive.
Right.
Being so hell bent on
Listen,
driving.
and now granted, y'all know I done dragged Ashley a million hot times high and back. I don't like her. She is evil. It's a natural evilness that's in that big ass forehead. But I do think that she's a necessary evil. So I do think that she should return. Giselle is now the one where it's questionable. But I think that Giselle could just get demoted to a friend. Ashley should still remain full time because of the fact that she's dating and she's so confrontational, you know, always having that confrontation. Giselle could still come around as a friend, which means she'll still be there for all the confrontation. But we don't need to follow her. She doesn't need a full time role. Give it to someone else.
I don't think neither one of them need a full-time role. I
I mean,
think they
hey,
both
I'm
can
not
have
mad at that.
anything.
I'm not mad about that. But I was cracking up when Jazzy got dismissed and Andy was like, okay, Jazzy, we're gonna let you giddy on up back. Like, girl,
Then she
you.
posted that they didn't renew her. I think it's official. She's not coming back.
There is nothing there, boo. But thank you for your services. Kiarna, I think she needs to get demoted as a friend. And it eventually out, but I do enjoy watching her like try for moments and end up getting just looking stupid because that's really what it is. It's like, because now I was just like, girl, I don't like you. Like, you really are, you got a stank attitude. Like, it's you know, we can see that now. But I think Angel deserves another chance and I think she should be full time.
Yeah, I could take another thing at Angel just because I don't know. She's just something about her. I could take another one. You could give her another time. And I like Tia. Give Tia
Yes,
another
like
time
Tia. You
too.
see, I didn't say nothing bad about Tia. I like Tia. I want to see her
Yeah.
return. I'm still very confused by Karen and Wendy's beef.
It just seems like a ego beef. Some
Yeah,
people don't be mad. It just be your ego be mad. Like, it's not
and
even
can
you.
I just be honest? I think it's more on Karen's end. I think she is more bothered by Wendy and what we're seeing, you know, over time is, yeah, that's always been the issue. Like, Kiana kicked off the season. She was bothered by Wendy. We got to see more of just how Karen is bothered by Wendy. And it's just like, Wendy, that's why it's so heartbreaking to see her going through this situation. But I'm really rooted for her. I need her to be able to bounce back from this because she is just a force.
Same.
You know, and even if, you know, things don't happen again on the educational tip, I could still see her having a future in reality television. I just really hope she doesn't have to do any time, you know, like,
Same.
really, really don't. But love you guys. It was a great season. Looking forward to the new season, season 11. And again, this new season that's coming up of Atlanta. Oh, and I'm also looking forward to this new franchise of in Rhode Island. I'm here for
Yes, I'm looking forward to Rhode Island because I'm going to start watching. And I'm also looking forward to Roni. They just announced it's coming back. I'm
it.
looking forward to it. So
Looking
I,
forward to Roni. I was just
yeah.
getting some tea. Apparently, the newbie, Glassman, what's her name? Glassman, Erin Glassman, was being a mean girl to somebody over the years. Haley Glassman, she was being a mean girl. Somebody's putting her on blast. The girl with no job is putting her on blast because she used to just send her mean messages on Instagram for no reason. So sounds like they cast the perfect person. I'm here for it.
Listen, and
I
we
like
love
that
it. Bring all the tea out.
to me, as much as I did enjoy Uba, it just got a real dark with that Bren situation. We were already over
Yeah.
Bren. I never liked Jenna on the show. Or she could have just came back as a friend, but also it's like she was very unnecessary
She said
there.
that she just felt older and very removed. I do hope, because
Yeah.
I know Uba and Jessel were real
She
friends.
never
So I hope
meshed.
that Uba comes back as Jessel's friend.
I do. But I do think that they stuck with the three that I think were like a good core of it. So Sai, Aaron,
And poor Raquel, I don't know. She wasn't bad, but she wasn't great.
I know she didn't really get a chance. It's like, you
Yeah.
know, she didn't really get a chance, but I am looking forward to this new group. But because shout out to Housewives. We love Housewives over here,
We
okay?
sure do.
Period. All right, y'all, but don't forget to like and subscribe, rate and review, follow us on social media at We Watch Too Much TV.
Give us your
And
recommendations. Let us know what y'all
yeah.
want to watch, which I should be watching. Every time somebody say they don't know what to watch on TV, I literally send them our podcast page. Like,
Hello.
well, we tell you.
We're
And
telling you. We're telling you. Watch Paradise season two. Okay.
watch
Okay. And then watch the
the
pit. Okay. And then watch the Easter eggs on YouTube. Okay.
pit.
All right. So on that note, we are going to close out with some positivity. Okay, best friend, what do you have?
No matter where you are on your journey, that's exactly where you need to be. The next road is always ahead. By the icon that is Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, yes. She would be another woman I would go to dinner with. I love her.
Yes.
My quote is from the great Serena Williams. Every woman's success should be an inspiration to another. We're strongest when we cheer each other on. And that's a fact.
Period.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone other and in between. Our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and really good hair bundles on Amazon because it's Women History Month.
Don't get them on Amazon. Buy from your local vendor. I'm telling you, it's worth the investment. You're going to spend way too much more money buying low quality bundles off of like Amazon or AliExpress. I bought a premium grade of hair in 2024 that I'm just now deciding I'm going to buy something, you know, another one. It lasted me for 2 years. It actually still works. I'm just going to now only use it for ponytails instead of sew-ins. And I just saved myself a lot of money. You know, it was like $500 initially, but over it, thinking about how much I used to spend at least like $200 to $300 every time I'm doing a weave on cheap bundles. So really good quality hair bundles, y'all. I'm telling you, it's worth the investment. If you're going to put the bundles in, put the right bundles in. You could dye it, all those things, all the things. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone in between, we'll be back next week. Bye.
Have a good night.